Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome in on Memorial Day to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. And again to you on that side of the camera, we welcome you into God's house. Our sermon today is titled, To Remember, and our scripture is Psalm chapter 27. Now, while you're looking that up, it is now time for yard sale season, is it not? I mean, everywhere you see estate sale, yard sale. I saw a sign a couple of weeks ago right out here on Eastern Boulevard that made me laugh, and I wanted to go, but I just couldn't get there. It said divorce sale. And I'm a sucker for a yard sale. And I was at one this week. I was on my way home, and I just couldn't resist the sign that said, stuff you ain't never seen, come to our yard sale. And so I did. And I got there, and I got out, and they were selling a Buick. I've never seen anybody sell a Buick at a yard sale. And they were selling tools that were missing pieces and parts, and they called them eclectic. But the sign that caught my attention was the sign that said, for sale, talking dog, $10. I started checking my pockets. I had money. So I went up to the porch, and there was a fellow sitting on the porch. I said, that sign out there, the talking dog, he goes, yeah, that mutt's around back. Go check him out. I walked around there, and sitting there under the shade drinking a lemonade was an old hound dog. And I leaned up on the fence. I said, are you the talking dog? He goes, yes, I am. I almost fell down on the ground. I said, a talking dog? I said, how's this happen? He goes, well, I don't know. He said, I'm in retirement now, so I don't talk much anymore. I said, well, tell me about your life. This is too much for me. He said, well, when I was a pup, we figured out that I could understand humans and I could talk. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, they used to send me into places to listen to people, and then I'd come back and tell what I heard. Some of these government meetings and stuff where they were going to do nefarious things. Well, the next thing you know, the U.S. government and the president found out I was a talking dog, and they hired me to work for the Secret Service. And they would turn me into these big international meetings, and I would go and I would wander around, and I'd listen to all the stuff that was going to be against this country, and I'd come back and report to my superiors. I got commendations forevermore of all the good works I've done to save this great country. I said, this is amazing. A talking dog. He said, then the CIA picked me up, and because of my nose and my ability to tell what I could smell, I could sniff out bomb plots, and I could sniff out things, and I continued to save this country. But now that my eyesight's getting a little bad and my nose don't quite work, I'm retired back here at the farm. I said, that's it. Getting a talking dog today for $10. And I wandered back around to the front of that house, and the man was sitting there fanning himself on the porch. And I said, that's a talking dog. He goes, yeah, I know. I said, you look pretty depressed. Well, if you had him, you'd be too. You only want $10 for that dog? He goes, yep. I said, why? He said, that's a lying old mutt back there. He ain't never done any of those things. Oh, but you'll go to the next yard sale going, Paul, daggone it. Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. For you have been my helper. Do not forsake me. Do not reject or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, or false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. As we seek this message out, Father, strengthen us with all the woes that surround us. Let us set aside that and rest with you for a moment through your message. May it be pleasing unto us from you. May it be strengthening. May we learn. May we walk from it, Father. In Jesus' name we give thanks. And all of his children said, Amen. What's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin. If we mark to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. By Jove, I am not covetous for gold, nor care I who doth feed upon my cost. It yearns me not if men my garments wear. Such outward things dwell not in my desires. But if it be a sin to covet honor, I am the most offending soul alive. No faith, my cause, wish not a man from England. God's peace, I would not lose so great an honor. As for one man, methinks, would share from me, for the best hope I have, oh, do not wish for one more. Rather proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he hath no stomach to this fight. Let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes home safe will stand on tiptoe when this day is named, and rouse him at the name of Crispin. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast with his neighbors and say, tomorrow is Saint Crispin. Then he will strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Christmas Day. Old men forget, yet all shall not be forgot. But he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names be as familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester. Be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son. And Crispin, Crispin shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but in it we shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he so ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed that they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us on this day, St. Crispin's Day. William Shakespeare put those words together in Henry V, based on a battle that was about to happen. The Battle of Agincourt, which fell on St. Crispin's Day. Henry V urges his men, who know they're going into overwhelming odds, to stand fast and prepare the fight. To be noble unto the Crispin and Crispin who had in their persecution and in their torture stood up to make sure that Christianity was not kept to the elite, to the ruling rich, that Christianity was given to the poor in their trade as cobblers, in their trade as workers, in their trade as servants. They attracted the ire of Rictus Verus, governor of Belgic Gaul, who had them tortured and thrown into a river with a millstone around their neck. And when they survived that, they were beheaded by the emperor in 286 for their belief that all people should know Jesus Christ, that Christianity should be there. And in this act, in Shakespeare, in King Henry V, as they are about to go into overwhelming odds, he reminds them that you go and that one day you'll be remembered. Now, once again, I must put a disclaimer in with one of my sermons because I have to. The disclaimer says that as a pastor, I'm not supposed to glorify war and the military and all that, that I'm supposed to be a pacifist and all this, that, and the other. And I agree with that. War is a horrible thing. But I will not walk away from the courage of what this day and this weekend means. Now, I'm guilty of it as much as the next person. When I got to Friday, although this Friday wasn't what it was supposed to be, because we were racing around trying to get Wendy in front of the dentist, and my plans were thinking about Friday, coming home and preparing for a 3-day weekend, and cooking and working around the house. All of us look at this weekend for that. And we would be made to feel guilty of it, but the people that passed away to keep this country free would have us think otherwise. They did it just so that we could come home and celebrate. We just never want to lose fact of when we stand at Memorial Day weekend, we want to take a moment and remind ourselves of those who paid the ultimate price for us, both in our freedom of this country, the greatest country in the world ever, period, end of discussion. And for those who have given their life around the world to make sure that the gospel stands true and strong so that people will know Jesus Christ in the days to come. We talk about memorials this weekend. On my way over here, I was watching the sky and I was looking at the flags in people's yards, and it gets to me sometimes. It gets to me that somebody somewhere stood up and said, I'm going to go and I'm going to be prepared to give everything I have. Their names are Harlan Block, Harold Keller, Ira Hayes, Harold Schultz, Franklin Sousley, and Michael Strank. Using his speed graphic camera without the aid of a viewfinder, not realizing the significance of what he had done, Joe Rosenthal took the picture of those Marines that raised the flag on Iwo Jima in 1945. Tragically, Block, Sousley, and Strank would be killed after raising that flag during the battle yet to come, now being memorialized forever by that flag, by that picture. Everybody knows that flag. Say amen. Amen. And when we look at that, we think of that moment in time, and our hearts doth swell with pride, as Shakespeare would have written. We think about that moment where something was raised up that we can rally around forever in front of. That flag, that moment. Because it reminds us of those who determined that they would fight against evil till their last breath. And they did. And it shows. And yet we continue to try to give. We continue to try to give everything we can to remember on this day. And we think about all the stories of that word of sacrifice that this weekend represents. During his reign, King William III of Prussia found himself in a lot of trouble. The wars had been costly. He was trying to build the nation and had no money. Not able to disappoint the people and capitulate to the enemy, after careful reflection, he decided to ask the women of all Prussia to bring their jewelry of gold and silver to be melted down and sold for their country. For each ornament received, he determined to exchange a decoration of bronze or iron as a symbol of his gratitude. And each decoration would be inscribed, "I gave gold for iron in 1813. The response was more than the king could have imagined. More important, these women prized those gifts more than any of their jewelry. They lined up for miles to be able to do this. Indeed, it became unfashionable to wear jewelry, and thus was established the Order of the Iron Cross. Members wore no ornaments except a cross of iron for all to see. When we Christians come to see our King, we too will exchange the flourishes of this life for that cross, for that memorial on a hill far away." David is writing a scripture to memorialize what his life is to be. David is writing a psalm. Yet one of these days, I'd love to. One of the things I enjoy is sometimes, and I do watch this, sometimes I'll watch these rabbis on the internet sing these psalms. And if you've never heard it done, it is so beautiful. Now, granted, I don't understand a word that they're saying. I don't know hardly any Jewish, but to hear them sing it, it's absolutely amazing to listen to it. Now, one of these times, I'd like to learn how to sing a psalm. Not this one, mind you. I want to find that short one. What's that real short one? It's a couple verses long. But when they put this forth, we think about what David was doing. He was memorializing his life. He was giving his life over to God. He was saying, "It is my life that you gave me. Now take it back and use it wherever it be. And if it be, Father, that I die, if it be that I am taken, if this happens, know that I understand why. That I give my life for you. That I want to be raised up for you." He talks about how the enemies will come against him, that they will surround him. "Though an army will besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident." And he asks but one simple thing. "Let me dwell in your house, Father. If everything goes, let me simply be with you." In St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V, Shakespeare says the same thing. "What is all of this can be counted for naught, lest I give the one thing I can give away. Garments, gold, all of that is foolishness if I cannot give my life to save my fellow man." King Henry is encouraging his men. David is encouraging us to continue to stay strong in the Lord, regardless of what is put against us. And everyone in this room, everyone, has felt something. Something to the point of almost being insurmountable. And yet you survive it. And you remember. I think about this day a lot. I think about when people set forth to remember. I think about the fact that young men in uniforms marched off to a country most of us couldn't spell if we had to. I think about young men in not uniforms, young men and women, I'm sorry, in not uniforms, in dungarees and t-shirts. And yes, I said dungarees and I don't know why. Jeans. I'm an old soul. Marched off, knowing that this might possibly be their last, to a land, to a tribe, to a place where none of us can spell, to say, hey, have you met my Jesus? Do you know him? And some don't come home proclaiming that gospel. Some people have had an impact on our life so profound that they have been gone, and yet they still are with us every minute of every day, making one movement, something we've done, we stop and we go because of. If there is someone, a single person, that you would like to just speak their name today, a single person, just pick one, I would encourage you, if you would like, to stand at this time and just say that name. Grandson who just went into the Marines. Thank you, Liz.
I'm sorry, Air Force.
Air Force.
I'm sorry, yes.
Thank you, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Bud?
My first cousin, Paul Johnson, was in World War II. Came back alive. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Bud.
Molly? My grandfather, whose medals lay on the wall every time I come down the stairs.
Your grandfather Hirschstein. Bubby?
Thank my dad for being in the Army, going through and came back to all stuff.
Doris?
For a young man that I've forgotten his name that I met last weekend at the Memorial Service for a friend. Walking around, had a wife and two lovely daughters, and someone said to me, he really gets around.
Thank you, Doris. Others this morning, they didn't have to serve. They served in the capacity as the influence on your life. One of my greatest influences. And yes, he served. But he did so much more for my life that I'll never be able to explain it fully. Was Robert Paul Butts, a man whom I love, not loved, love to this day and think about often. Others this morning, is there anyone you want to remember today? Mita?
My father, Howard Sherman, he served in World War II. He came back home.
Kathy? Pardon?
Charlie's uncle, Charles Hikes.
Okay.
Who fought in the Battle of the Bulge and came back alive, but he was disabled. And for his service, and he's gone.
Thank you, Linda. Jimmy?
My father, James Dawson, served in Germany.
Served in Germany. Jill?
The unnamed soldiers.
Pardon?
The unnamed soldiers.
The unnamed soldier. Gail?
No, my father, my three brothers, sorry. I don't know, Gary.
Thank you. Any others this morning? John?
I have a stepfather, Chet Ryan, who's a minesweeper in the Navy, and my uncle, Ray McMillan, who was in the Navy.
in the brig.
They got in trouble on a weekend.
They got in trouble, spent time together in the brig.
But they didn't know each other.
They didn't know each other.
Later in life, Chet married my mother. She was my mother's father had died. She married my mother. Had a family reunion. The two met and realized they had spent a weekend in the brig together.
That's a beautiful story. Others this morning. Alan?
Reverend Rubal, he was the minister of Grace United Methodist Church, and his plane went down in the North Sea, and he was a prisoner in the German concentration camp and became a minister.
Wow. Any others? Kathy? Any others? To remember. That's what this day is for. Not just to remember where they were, how they served, but to remember who they were and how they influenced our life, how they raised us up. And the one that if you have never done it, if you have never been able to go down, I encourage you someday to go to that unknown soldier and sit in that quiet moment and be reminded of those who have given. And there is a monument not too far from here that commemorates those who have given their name, given their life in the service of Jesus Christ. David Livingstone said, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice? Which is simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which we can never repay. Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward in healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope or a glorious destiny? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege, anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, and foregoing the common conveniences of this life. These may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink, but let this be only for a moment. All these are nothing compared with the glory which shall later be revealed in and through us. I have never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember of the great sacrifice which he made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself to us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." In 1912, Pastor Bernard was looking for a way to express something that he was feeling. He had been doing evangelism meetings in and around Michigan, and young people were coming to the meeting, and they were talking during the call to receive Christ, and he became distraught that they weren't catching the gospel, that he wasn't explaining it well enough. And so he went home to his kitchen table and he sat down and he penned the words on a hill far away and struggled. And for months he tried to figure it out. And then a return trip to Michigan during some evangelistic meetings in a barn that was once used to house hops to make beer, converted now into a church, it began to flow into him. And in 1912, he sat down and he finished that song, and he went to the preacher and his wife at that church in their kitchen and sang it, and they both broke down and wept. And the home where he started it, now long since demolished, since the 60s, there stands a plaque that this is where it started. But that barn, that Hops barn, converted to a church, stands to this day for all to be reminded that so great was it, so wonderful was it, that Pastor Bernard decided that the greatest memorial he had ever known was that cross on a hill far away that he sang for the first time in 1912, that song, the old rugged cross. To this day we stand. To this day we set forth to remember. And I encourage you as we leave from here today, we do that exact thing. Let us be reminded that when evil men advance against me to defile my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Even though war break out against me, even then will I be confident, because on a hill far away, someone set forth something for us to remember. And that remembrance is as such. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is ours to remember. May God bless each and every one of you, this country, those who have served, and those who have given. Let us pray. Father, let us be reminded of all that we have because of all somebody gave. Be it a home, be it the ability to walk freely in this country, or open this Bible up and speak freely about Jesus Christ. May we be reminded, Father, that in all these things, you have had your guiding hand. May we bless each and every one of those who have served and those especially who have given, Father. Not just their life, but given us influence and direction and love and lifting. May we be ever mindful. May we be always made to remember that your Son, on that greatest of memorials, gave his life to save us once and for all. Father, let us pray and bless those on this weekend, on this day, and be ever thankful of what they gave and what you gave us to remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, and I am only going to give you half of one guess as to what the last hymn is going to be. If you need to pray, the bench is open. If you don't know our Savior, and you're on that side of the camera, let us help you find him. And to all of you who remember those who gave their all, God bless you. God bless the United States. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Amen.